All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we seek to wrap up here the doctrine of angels. Fairly comprehensive. Gives you a lot of insight into the angelic conflict, things of this nature. Plan of salvation is so represented by the angels. It is not to impress, but to inform in regards to that which is presented to you. Roman numeral 9 wraps up the doctrine, refreshing our thoughts in regards to the relationship of angels to men, as we definitely see their relationship to God in no uncertain terms on either side of the coin, fallen and elect. They also have a relationship to men. Angels were created superior to man in every way, both in their estate and inherent qualities. Hebrews is deals with angels in that degree. Hebrews 2, 6, and 7. When he again brings the firstborn into the world, that be it via the second advent, Christ is the only human body to receive a resurrection body. He says, and let all the angels of God worship him. So he will be attributed in honor even by the elect host. And to the angel he said, who makes his angels wind and his ministers a flame of fire? So be God condescended to become man as the second member of the Godhead, the executioner of the plan, God the Son, and was made, first point B here, was made lower than the angels during the incarnation by assuming a human body in order to redeem fallen man. That's the emphasis in verses 9 and 10 of Hebrews 2. I read Hebrews 1. That's amazing. 6 and 7 and 1 is essentially the same as 6 and 7 and 2. All right, let me back up. I'm just trying to stay in fellowship. Verse 6, chapter 2 first. But one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him? Or a son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, even the angelic host. Then verses 9 and 10, for point B here, but we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. A little while is the first advent. Because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone, both spiritual and physical. For it was fitting for him, that's him there is the pronoun, is the antecedent, is God the Father. For it is fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings, that is the person of Christ. See, the very fact that you did not partake of the nature of angels, in other words, he did not become God-angel, but did partake of human nature, becoming the God-man, has led the author of Hebrews to conclude then that salvation was not provided for fallen angels as it was for mankind. Again, that addresses a fallacious proposition that Christ's work on the cross also provided salvation for angels. It did not. The author of Hebrews makes that clear. Verse 14, since then, the children share in flesh and blood. He himself, likewise, that being Christ, also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Verse 16, for surely he, Jesus Christ, does not literally have the nature of, in the Greek, translated, give the help of, give help to in the New American Standard English. He does not have the nature of angels, but he has the nature of the descendant of Abraham. D, those that believe in Messiah for salvation will share his glorious destiny and will be exalted by the angels in his final estate. That is promise attributed to us as believers. And again, it's based on who and what Jesus Christ is and our relationship with him. 1 Corinthians 6:3, in that sense, we are royalty. We are seen to be in the line of Christ's rule and prestigious position and power over creation. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? You got to have authority in order to do that, to judge. Philippians 3:21. In regards to our resurrection body, our citizenship is not in allegiance to Satan and the cosmos, the world. Our citizenship belongs in heaven. We have a dual citizenship, if you will, in that sense. But we have a new citizenship provided for us through our faith in Christ. And hence, it is under his regime, his authority, his law, that we are to operate. For our citizenship is in heaven. We're here to represent that as ambassadors, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state in conformity with the body of his glory. Hence our association with him and alignment to share in regards to all the blessings bestowed upon him by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. And then, again, back to Hebrews 2, there, 8 and 9. Verse 8. Ye have put all things subject under his feet, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him, but now we do not see all things subjected to him. The reality of all this experientially occurring yet, as we are waiting for that to be brought about in time, etc. in that regards. So, all things includes the angelic host. So, he therefore, men are not to worship angels. All the writers that fall down and try to worship in the Bible, try to worship angels, they're rebuked by the angel every time. Get up, don't worship me. I'm not God. They are fellow servants of ours to God. Therefore, men are not to worship angels, but to view them as the servants of God sent forth to offer service towards positive volition. Hebrews 1:14, the second citation there, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation in Colossians 2:8? See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, a human viewpoint that is in contradiction to Bible doctrine, the divine viewpoint. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Oh, it's 2:18, sorry. All right, skip down. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. That too. Don't let them take you captive. Don't fall for their human viewpoint ploy. Defrauding you of your prize. That is to interfere in regards to the divine directives given to you. And understanding them first and foremost clearly. If you don't understand them, how can you expect it to operate and function according to God? See, so our number one priority, our most pressing responsibility, is to be in Bible class and learning what God's plan is for us. Life is an open book test. We got the book. We're into it. You know, you got to know it first. And just as it is with any subject, you got to stay on top of your game. And don't let anyone defraud you. That can come in many, many different attacks in different ways and relationships, things of this nature, anything to distract you in regards to what your spiritual priorities are in life. By delighting here to gain your attention, and it's really said to entertain one's imaginative function in regards to their mind. Appeal to weakness of the flesh that has a tendency to maybe not embrace doctrine in totality in certain areas of our lives, and to fall for their counterfeit in that regards, delighting in self-abasement, that is false humility. See, religious types love to do this, the pious attitude. Wearing certain garb, you know, the collar. They need to put an electric shock on them for some of them. They can't stay in their sexual domain either. If you're with me on that one. Self-abasement and the worship of angels, see. Turn your attention to something that is obviously supernatural and appeals to, the sense of mysticism and, again, imagination and curiosity of the mind and thinking in regards to superpowers. The world, Hollywood, is trying to focus everyone on that in terms of their definition of aliens, see, and the super people that come out of these things and all that crap. Taking his stand on things, literally, he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. That's why we stick with what the Bible has to profess. We, obviously, in teaching over the years, we may not document in class every little dot and iota that we do, but we have in the past, and we can always do it again in the future if necessary. See? People come up and try to tell you, this is God's plan. The first words out of your mouth, show me in the Bible. Document it. See. And then Revelation 22, 8 and 9. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, stop that. Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. We have one object of worship. That is God Himself, and the person of Jesus Christ.